Well, good morning, and it's a huge privilege to stand here this morning. I want to thank God and DCC for giving me this privilege. I request you all to please stand for the reading of God's word and turn into the book of Philemon. This book is found in the New Testament after the book of Titus and before the book of Hebrews. And we'll be looking at Philemon chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in the house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you for giving us this opportunity to read and hear your word and worship you. Father, you know how inadequate I am, and so I plead with you. Give me boldness to speak, bless this time, and may your name be glorified and magnified and lifted high above all. Amen. Please be seated. The book of Philemon is one of the shortest letters of Apostle Paul. It has only one chapter with 25 verses. As you read Philemon, it seems a very straightforward, simple letter. It really doesn't seem to have any doctrinal statements, but the Lord has included it in the Bible. It is an inspired book, inspired by the Holy Spirit for our edification. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. There are 27 books in the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul wrote 13, which is almost 50% of the New Testament. Only three of them were sent to individuals, and that was letters to Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. The New Testament tells us more about Apostle Paul than any other apostle. Philemon is a very privileged man in this, that he receives a letter from the Apostle Paul. It is a plea to Philemon to forgive his runaway slave Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave in the house of Philemon who has robbed his master and ran away to Rome to be lost in this big population town where he can hide there. It is a beautiful story about forgiveness and reconciliation. But in God's sovereign plan, Onesimus lands up in prison in Rome, where he meets Paul, and God saved Onesimus. Paul heard from Philemon about Philemon from Onesimus and wrote this letter from the prison and gave it to Onesimus, who faithfully handed it over to his master. And if Onesimus had not truly repented in prison under Paul's guidance, he could have easily thrown the letter away and gone back to his old life, like many of us. He could easily give in to fear and doubt whether his master would really forgive him or send him back to prison. This book therefore helps us to understanding Onesimus, know that we can also trust God to take care of us of the consequence of our sin when we repent. Let me take you to the opening three verses, and we all will be focusing on these three verses today. And whenever you're dealing with an epistle from Apostle Paul, we should always be dealing with the familiar opening Paul's letters. He does this in all his letters. He identifies himself first, which makes more sense in writing a letter than putting your signature at the end. That's an old way, the ancient custom. The letter begins with the name of the author, followed by the name of the recipient, and also in the opening greetings and blessings. And verse 1, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul is captive. He's in prison. He's bound in chains and under the custody in prison. And Paul, as I said, he usually begins his letter by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. He usually begins that way because he's emphasizing his authority. But here he writes, Paul, a prisoner. Paul is a prisoner because he is boldly preaching Christ Jesus. Paul wrote 4 prison epistles, and that is Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And they're called prison epistles because they are written during one of his imprisonment. And when he wrote Philemon, that was his first Roman imprisonment. While he was in prison, Paul reflected on the fact that he was a prisoner of Christ, and he asked those who know him that they should pray for him, that the Lord will give him boldness to preach the gospel, and not for his release or comfort in his situation, in imprisonment. For Paul, this was not something that happened accidentally. He knew that he was there by the will of the Lord. A couple of Sundays ago, Uncle Pastor Chris was teaching from Titus, and he explained about Saul, his conversion, and his encounter of the Lord Jesus Christ and Saul on the road to Damascus. And so I will not get into all the details again and repeat that. But very briefly, let's look at the various stages of Paul's life, from being Saul to becoming Apostle Paul. It is not that Saul was a nobody. He was a good-for-nothing individual before his conversion. He was well-educated and a zealous man. He was a businessman. He made tents. Prior to his conversion, Paul was a highly placed member in the Jewish Sanhedrin, and he persecuted Christians beyond measure. According to Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, and that changed his life 360 degrees. It was a total turnaround for him. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 16, he says that God was to reveal his son to me. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 8, he says, as he lists the order in which Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, Paul writes, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. Paul is an amazing man of God. He counted all his merits, his education, as nothing. He had just one identity, and that is that he's a chief sinner. And we can see that in 1 Timothy 1:15, when he says that this is a trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost, the chief. You have heard this saying that behind every successful man, there is a woman. But I think that behind every successful man is a faithful man. Think about that. That behind every successful man is a faithful man. Paul is a faithful man and a team man. He makes disciples, and he has intimacy and bonding with all those who serve with him. Wherever he went, Paul discipled men, taught and trained men. He didn't time pass in gappa goshti and or gossip with these men. He was very focused in discipling them, and they became elders and faithful men of God. These men are faithful even during his imprisonment, and they are at times with him also. And we'll be seeing that in Philemon at the end of it. They don't drop the ball. They don't say, I can't take it anymore, or I have done so much now, I need to relax, slow down, give up. They don't say those kind of words. They are just faithful men. And there were men that is mentioned in the Bible, and that is Epaphras and Mark and Demas and Luke. They were there. And if you put other epistles together, there is a mention of Tychicus, Silas, Titus, Jesus Justus, and many others, whose names we don't even know. But these were faithful men. And Paul had faithful men, and he counted and entrusted them with responsibilities, which he knew that they would not forget or just let go. Bhul gaya. Chhod do. Not those kind of men. They were quality men. Even in the book of Philemon, Paul is in prison and yet he is not cribbing about the surroundings or situations or his hardship. He was so committed to Jesus that even in the prison, he was evangelizing a robber, a slave, Onesimus, who was once useless, came to the Lord and became a useful servant of Lord Jesus. We must be alert and check how do we use our time. In entertainment or making disciples? You choose, your choice, your call. And then again in verse 1, he continues to say, Timothy, our brother. And the meaning of Timothy means one who honors God, who is dear to God. And Timothy is not a co-author of this letter. He is Paul's companion, a brother in Christ. In Timothy 1, verse 2, Paul calls Timothy his son. But here he calls him Timothy his brother. Paul led Timothy to Christ, and so he is known as Paul's beloved son in the faith. Timothy had a reputation for godliness. He became Paul's disciple, friend, a co-laborer. Paul often sent Timothy to churches as his representative. Timothy was serving as a pastor of a church at Ephesus. I mean, how long have we been discipled, taught, trained? How long have you sat under the sound teaching? How many Bible studies, fellowships you have been exposed to? Are you happy being fed and exhorted and rebuked and corrected by those trying to disciple you? Is it not the high time to become a responsible fellow worker of the Lord Jesus Christ? Many of us are willing to be spoon-fed and pampered for our entire lives. God wants you to mature from being a child in the faith to some mentor, to become a strong and faithful disciple like Timothy. Paul, in other letters, also say that desire solid food. Be mature. Desire solid food. He says that. And then the verse 1 in the B section, we can see that there's another name mentioned there, and that is Philemon. And he calls him a beloved brother and a fellow worker. Philemon was a slave owner, and the church met in his house in Colossae. His name means affectionate. He lived up to his name. He is mentioned only in this book of Philemon. This letter is from Paul to his friend Philemon, whom he calls dear friend, a fellow worker. Paul appeals to his friend on behalf of his slave Onesimus, who committed a crime and ran away from his master's home. Onesimus had somehow landed in Rome and in the same prison as Paul. If you are one of God's elect, God will somehow catch you and deal with you. You cannot run away from God forever. You do not need to run as far as Onesimus and commit crimes and sin badly, even landing in jail. Turn to Christ before landing in serious trouble. Onesimus became a believer. But because he was a runaway slave of Philemon, Paul sent him back to his owner with a letter. By doing this, Paul is showing that he knows Philemon is a loving man with an amazing reputation. He is not a cruel master. Most probably, Philemon was rich that he could afford to buy and keep a slave or several slaves. Philemon loved all the saints in his house church. And we will look at that next sermon, which is from 4 to 7 onwards. Paul speaks of Philemon as a beloved brother and a fellow worker. And what a blessed designation that reputation is to have, you know, to have that reputation. How would someone BCC take your name? and add some adjective to your name. Ponder on this. Philemon hosted a church in his house. Do you invite church people to your home beyond home fellowship times, an open home where the saints of God can feel welcome and discipled over? A meal is such a powerful tool of hospitality. Without a spiritual goal, this aim will be only a happy time of eating and chit-chatting. A home must become centers of discipling others. And this can be done not only by the leaders, but all who desire to serve the Lord. And then as you look at verse 2, there's another mention of Apphia. And though Paul is writing to Philemon, he also mentions Apphia, our sister. The Holy Spirit doesn't say anything more about her. But we can assume that she's a faithful sister serving in the house church. It is not mentioned in the Bible, but maybe she's Philemon's wife. It doesn't say what was her ministry, but she made an impact as she served faithfully in the house church that Paul mentions her name specifically there. As you serve in the church, you don't know how you may be a blessing to someone. It could be just simple cleaning of chairs or serving meals. But the question is, are you serving in the church? And then he goes on to mention another individual, and that is Archippus. And Paul says and refers to him as a fellow soldier. He's faithful in serving in the house church. We don't know what kind of ministry he was doing, but he was important and served alongside with Philemon as a faithful soldier. Later, as Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 17, that's again where he is mentioned, he says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Paul's word to Archippus to complete the ministry, or take heed of the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This was a gentle rebuke for having neglected his ministry. He was backsliding from being a soldier to being pulled up and exhorted by Paul to get back on track and be on focus, sincere, committed to the God-given ministry. Don't let go. It's your commitment to God. Don't just drop the ball. But Apostle Paul rebuked Archippus. We do not know much about Archippus, other than he was a Christian who was granted a ministry from the Lord, and he was faithful and strong, a fellow soldier for the faith. Paul's encouragement and rebuke to Archippus should encourage all of us. Complete the ministry God has given us and to serve faithfully till the last breath. There's no retirement there. Then you see in verse 2b, he goes on to say, and to the church in your house. Philemon had a house large enough for the church to meet. He was no doubt this was a relatively small church, but his house was a house that could accommodate a church. And DCC is one such example of a house church which began in the house. Do you open your homes for God's work? Or do you allow God to use your home for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom? Or do you use your home mostly for your own selves, own comfort? Like the home fellowship study, youth meetings are hosted in some homes. And people who come into your homes, do they see God honored in your home? And then you go on to verse 3, and he says there, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the two Christian blessings that we have, and the standard greetings. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the source of salvation. Peace is the result. Salvation is by grace, and the result is peace. Both come from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is a source of salvation, but like salvation, must become part of our whole life and in every part of our living. Grace means gift. Grace of God. Grace is God's gift, which changes our nature and character. It makes us like God, who is the one who gives his grace. Another word for grace is charm. When someone is charming, that person is beautiful. Not only in appearance, but in behavior. Paul is sending God's grace as to Philemon as a prayer that Philemon's nature and character will be changed more and more to be like the nature and the character of Jesus. And then there's peace. Peace is a result of grace, and like grace, must change our way of thinking and perspective. When we have peace with God, he removes the barrier of sin between us and him. We must continue to flee sin and sinful attitudes, thinking and lifestyles. Peace is also the comfort that guards our hearts and minds. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." Because we have become sure that God is absolutely capable of looking after us in the most severe trials and sufferings, we consciously trust him in every situation. And instead of panic, we calmly live through those painful days. Paul wants Philemon to experience this, as Philemon will be confronted with this converted thief's slave who ran away from him. Perhaps he would be shocked. Maybe his family might not be able to handle the return of Onesimus. God's peace was going to help them cope with this surprise visit. Philemon and his family would be able to forgive and accept Onesimus. The blessing of grace and peace comes, first of all, comes from the Father. And we enjoy a relationship with God as Father and not as the Mighty One only. While we fear and tremble before him because we understand many of his awesome attributes, because of Christ, God is our Father. God sent Jesus to make it possible for us to have his grace and peace. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, if Jesus didn't come in human form to live, suffer, and die on the cross on our behalf, there would be no grace or peace for us as sinners. Through God, the Father sending Jesus, the Son, we enjoy the blessing both of grace and peace.